me first say, this is a true joy to be back here with you. Thank you to your rector and your clergy for inviting me to come as you celebrate 75 years of witness of the work that you do in God's kingdom. Now, some of you may know that James and I raised our children here, our three children. And then this congregation sent me on to seminary. And I returned and served for a while before I was called downtown to our cathedral. And you also shepherded our children such that one of our sons now serves the church in the Diocese of Western North Carolina. It is so good to be here to worship with you today. If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well. It was an ordinary Sunday morning at the cathedral. In fact, it was the church's ordinary time, the season of Pentecost, just like today. We gather for worship, which proceeds as usual. The preacher concludes his sermon. The congregation reaffirms its faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. Prayers are lifted. The confession is offered. The peace is shared. The deacon and I then move to the altar. And as I begin the familiar words of the consecration over the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, a woman, with hands raised in the air, begins a slow and deliberate walk up the center aisle. Her lips are moving, but no sound can be heard. And now, with a bit of uncertainty and unease, I continue the liturgy. And no doubt, there's a bit of unease within the congregation as well. Their focus shifts. And all eyes are upon this lady. She makes her way up through the opening of the altar rail, up the chancel steps. She kneels on the top step, prostrates herself, and reaches for the hem of the green frontal that covers the altar, confessing her faith without using a word. Might she know this story from our gospel? Has she heard these words before? Surely she knows Jesus the healer. Jesus the healer. This morning's gospel passage comes from a section of Mark's narrative filled with stories of healing. Mark points out that people come from throughout the region, the whole region, seeking this man Jesus, begging that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and believing they will be healed. Today, we find ourselves on the western shore of the Sea of Galilee. Now, Jesus has just crossed over from the other side, and a large crowd is gathered at the water's edge. Each comes for his or her own reason. You know, some come to seek a brand new start. Some hope to be healed. Some doubt what they have heard and want to find out for themselves about this man. Some just want to believe. Others come to conduct a bit of business, sell a few fish, barter for a few day laborers. Yet, all of them are drawn by the miraculous, life-giving power of God. You see, Jesus' reputation has grown to the point that he cannot go unnoticed. Folks anticipate where he is headed and they hurry ahead of him. What might he say or do this time? What blessing might he bestow? And on this particular day, Mark tells us about the faith of two folks in the crowd who are in need: Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, the local synagogue, and a nameless, anonymous woman. We learn that this unnamed lady is suffering both physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and apparently has been for quite a while, some 12 years or more. She has carried her pain alone, invisible to and ignored by others. But be assured, she is seen by God. She is known by God. And perhaps a neighbor or a relative has told her Jesus would be here today. So with fear, trepidation, and a willingness to be vulnerable, she weaves her way through the pressing crowd. And with determination and courage, she quietly comes up behind Jesus, reaches out, and touches his cloak. And then she confesses, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Have you ever reached out to touch that fringe? Ever wondered where to actually find the hem of our Lord's garment, the life-giving touch of God? I imagine we all go in search of the loving touch of God. In our sophisticated, broken, and busy world, it is far too easy to forget just how close Jesus the healer is to each and every one of us. Jesus, the one who traveled about, who touched the sick, confronted the demons, mended the brokenhearted. And he did it by entering the hearts of those who came seeking, and by offering the blessing, the blessed balm they so desperately needed. And he allowed the grace-filled power of God to move in and through him, and ultimately he poured it all out upon the hard wood of the cross so that you and I will not die, but will have life eternal. Yet, you know, it is so easy to hear these stories of healing, these miracles of new life, with a bit of skepticism, and to stay a safe distance away, to question when our prayers seem to go unanswered, and to hide our own pain and suffering. I wonder if this morning we might allow Jairus and the hemorrhaging woman to remind us it's okay to come close, to tell the truth before God. There is nothing to fear. Who can say for sure what Jesus did that day by the shore? But let's take notice of a couple of things that are as true for us today as they were for the folks gathered on the sandy shores around Galilee. Jesus does not ask the woman, nor Jairus, about the strength of their faith. He does not ask them for a list of good deeds done, does not ask them about their past. The fact that they stand before him is enough. Whatever kernel of faith they can muster, no matter how fragile, how broken, the Lord receives it all. And he reaches back with compassion, enters their suffering, and allows God's divine power to move through him. Now, I think Jesus asked two things of us this morning, two that we can identify. One, he says, do not fear and believe. Do not be afraid to confess the truth of your life to me, he says. Do not fear. I am with you even to the end of the age. Believe. Believe in me. Believe in my desire for your health and wholeness. Believe that what I say and do is trustworthy and true. God knows life is hard. Things don't always go as we had hoped or planned. There are no easy answers nor quick fixes to the brokenness of our world and our lives. Yet, They came that day from all over the region, seeking, begging, believing. And we come here today with whatever bit of faith we can muster, seeking the presence of our risen Lord, believing, hoping we too can touch his garment, or else we would not be here. My friends, the hem of our risen Lord's garment is all around us, here in this place, in word and sacrament, in music and prayers, in friends and family, in touch, in love, in the bread and wine you will receive in a few minutes at the foot of this altar. The hem of our risen Lord's garment is out there, in the people we meet and the places we go. The unnamed lady who walked up the center aisle that ordinary morning at the cathedral. The deacon and a parishioner gently walked with her to the chapel, listened to her story, said prayers together, offered her communion before she went on her way back out into the world. I believe that she proclaimed the gospel to us that day. It is the life-giving power of Jesus Christ that is at the heart of today's story about Jairus and the unnamed woman. It is at the heart of all of our stories, the power of new life, new hope, new beginning. It's what keeps us coming here Sunday by Sunday to see the risen Lord. The power to keep getting up and going on toward the one who knows us, reaches out, takes us by the hand in all of our raggedy imperfection, and loves us into eternity. So that in turn, you and I might embrace the raggedly imperfect people that are all around us. Thanks be to God.